Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege that we have to be in chapel now. We pray that you would direct us in everything that we do and say. May you get the glory and the honor and the praise and the worship that is so due to your name. May it come forth from every person in this room. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Last several weeks, we have been looking at the second vision in Revelation. This began in chapter 4. And it has continued through chapter 5, and now we're beginning chapter 6. How many of you in here have heard of the seal judgments? Raise your hand. Okay, those of you who haven't, you're going to be in for a surprise. This is actually a continuation of that vision that we were looking at already, where we saw the throne of God, and we saw all of the activity that was going around the throne, and then hearing the angels. Now we come into chapter 6, and he begins by saying, "Then I saw." And so, again, he's continuing to see this. Now, as we begin this, I want to let you hear and see Revelation chapter 6. So if I could direct your attention up here to the screen, this is Revelation chapter 6.
At the same time that I saw the Lamb open the first of the seven seals, one of the four living creatures shout with a voice like thunder. It said, "Come out." Then I saw a white horse. Its rider carried a bow and was given a crown. He had already won some victories, and he went out to win more. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come out." Then another horse came. It was fiery red, and its rider was given the power to take away all peace from the earth, so that people would slaughter. He was also given a big sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come out." Then I saw a black horse, and its rider had a balance scale in one hand. I heard what sounded like a voice from somewhere among the four living creatures. It said, "A quart of wheat will cost you a whole day's wages. 3 quarts of barley will cost you a day's wages too. But don't ruin the olive oil or the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come out." Then I saw a pale green horse. Its rider was named Death, and Death's kingdom followed the Lamb. They were given power over 1/4 of the earth. They could kill its people with swords, famines, diseases, and wild animals. When the Lamb opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of everyone who had been killed for speaking God's message and telling about their faith. They shouted, "Master, you are holy and faithful. How long will it be before you judge and punish the people of Israel who killed us?" Then each of those who had been killed was given a white robe and told to rest for a little while. It took them until the complete number of the Lord's other servants and followers would be killed. When I saw the Lamb open the sixth seal, I looked and saw a great earthquake. The sun turned as dark as sackcloth, and the moon became as red as blood. The stars in the sky fell to earth just like figs shaken loose by a windstorm. And the sky was rolled up like a scroll. All mountains and islands were moved from their places. kings of the earth, its famous people, and its military leaders hid in caves or behind rocks on the mountains. They hid there together with the rich and the powerful, and with all the slaves and free people. Then they shouted to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us! Hide us from the one who sits on the throne and from the anger of the Lamb. That terrible day has come. God and the Lamb will show their anger. And who can face it?"
Pretty vivid scene, wouldn't you say? That's chapter 6. And that was not the opening of all the seals. When you get to the seventh seal, that's not until chapter 8. In chapter 4 and chapter 5, it has been addressing issues in heaven. Now, in chapter 6, it's addressing issues pertaining both to heaven and to earth. So from heaven, as the Lamb opens each seal, and from earth, as they are carried out to every inhabitant on the earth who refuses to repent. In fact, I would say this, as these seals begin to open, this is the beginning of the end. Will our world end? Well, the book of Revelation occurs the last book in the Bible, fitting place for it, just as the book of Genesis occurs in the first place of the Bible, fitting place for it. Book of beginnings, book of origins. Guess what? Book of Revelation is dealing with the end. There will be an end. You and I, we wake up every day and we see all kinds of things going on in our world. Many of you heard yesterday about what took place in Boston. This doesn't compare to what you just heard. In fact, what you just heard will take place for a period of 7 years. In fact, what will initiate, as many believe, this period will be the signing of a peace treaty with a world ruler who will sign this peace treaty with Israel. This signing of this peace treaty will usher in what many have referred to as tribulation. Now, there's discrepancy as to what part of this is called tribulation. First 3.5 years, the beginning of birth pains, as Matthew 24 talks about. Last 3.5 years, called great tribulation. Some put that whole period of 7 years as tribulation. Either way, it's not going to be pretty. And as I keep saying, as we go through this, the only way that you can be ready is to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the only way you can be ready. Who's going to deliver you from this but Jesus Himself? Now, there are a few things that I want to mention as we go through this. I remind you, first of all, that as each seal is opened, we see that what is written on the scroll is not read, but it's actually acted out. And up to this point, John has already seen a lot of things, and you and I have had the privilege of hearing what he has seen. For example, this is what he has seen so far. He saw a door open in heaven. He saw a throne set in heaven. He saw one who sat on the throne. He saw a rainbow around the throne. He saw 24 thrones, 24 elders on thrones, lightnings, thunderings, and voices, 7 lamps of fire, a sea of glass, 4 living creatures, worship. He saw a 7 sealed scroll. And then he saw a Lamb. And now we're looking at the first 6 seals that are opened by the Lamb. This covers all of chapter 6 that you just heard. Again, the 7 seals not open until you get to chapter 8. Chapter 7 deals with the sealing of the 144,000 believing Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel. It also addresses the tribulation saints, which are now before the throne. But before we can look at chapter 6, I think that there's an important question to ask. Have any of you ever heard of the phrase, the day of the Lord? Has anybody heard that? Or maybe you've heard of it in this way, the day of the Lord's wrath. So the question is this the day of the Lord? Because listen, in verse 17 it says, "For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Now that verse right there from face value reading makes it sound like that this is something that has already taken place. But when you get into the grammar, the language that's used in the verse, you find out that this is something that is impending, something that hasn't happened yet. And it all takes place on a verb. One verb. It's the verb has come. In fact, the way it should be translated is coming, if that correct interpretation is the rendering of this verse. The verse, the verb that's used there, it could refer to something in the past, or it could refer to an event that's about to occur. Now, there are passages in Scripture that use that same verb, and listen to how they read. You have in Mark 14:41 the phrase, the hour is come. It's the same kind of tense, and it's spoken here by the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's referring to his impending crucifixion. He's there in the garden. He says, my hour has come. And so it's talking about something future. In Revelation 19:7, you find a similar phrase that's used the same kind of way with the same kind of rendering. And it's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Has anybody ever heard of that phrase? Marriage supper of the Lamb. It says the marriage of the Lamb is come. And there it's referring into an impending wedding of the Lamb. It's referring to something that hasn't occurred yet, something that is about to happen. So this phrase right here in Revelation 6:17 is using the same language. And it says, for the great day of his wrath has come. And again, the question is this the day of the Lord? Now, the day of the Lord, there are passages that speak of this, and we find parallel to what's taking place. Listen to what some of them say. Joel 2 in verses 30 and 31 says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Just listen to that description and compare it to what you just heard. Wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, the sun being turned into darkness, the moon into blood. Didn't you just hear that? Now, this is a reference, a direct reference to the day of the Lord, because it says it in the passage that this is happening before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So the question is what's taking place in chapter 6? Is that the day of the Lord? Well, if you go by Joel 2:20, you'd have to say no. Because it's saying all these cosmic events are happening before. And that's actually what's happening in that sixth seal. Listen to some other passages. Joel 3:14 and 15 says, multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark and the stars will diminish their brightness. Isaiah 13:9 and 10 says, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. And if you put that passage next to Revelation chapter 6, you're seeing some parallel. In fact, there's another passage in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 19. It says this, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they have made each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. That's exactly what's taking place right there in Revelation 6. Both passages, men are said to flee to the dens in the rocks of the mountains. One writer says this, it's clear that men flee from God's wrath after the sixth seal is open. If God's wrath begins with the first seal, as some assert, why do men not flee from God's wrath until after the sixth seal is open? A considerable period of time after the wrath begins. The solution sometimes suggested is that God's wrath started years earlier, but that men did not recognize it as God's wrath until after the sixth seal is open. Such a strained, unsubstantiated view is not to be taken seriously by those who love and honor God's word. Even a cursory look at the Day of the Lord text indicates that when God's day of the Lord wrath begin, the world will know it. There'll be no question about it. His wrath will be awesome in its intensity. This planet will be shaken to its very foundations. Anybody in here ever experienced an earthquake? Anybody? Shaking of the earth? This won't compare. We hear of wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, and places that, new places that we may identify. All of these are just preludes. Now, there's some other passages of Scripture I want to read to you that kind of give us a chronology of what's taking place as we look at end time events. One is a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Listen to what it says. Verse 13, you probably have heard this passage. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so as you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain until it will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. How many have heard that passage before? That is a classic passage referred to as the rapture. The term rapture is not used, but the concept is to be caught up. Now listen to what happens after that. Now as to the times and the epochs or seasons, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. Now, if we take that passage in and look at it in terms of chronology, we would find a rapture occurring before the day of the Lord. Now, again, the question is in Revelation 6, is that talking about the day of the Lord? Well, with that verb that I just mentioned to you in the last verse, it's talking about something future. It's talking about something that hasn't happened yet. And the passages that I read to you parallel events that will occur before the day of God's wrath. In fact, when you get to chapter 8 of Revelation and you begin to read the events that are there, you find out, guess what? The opening of the seventh seal is the day of the Lord's wrath. So if that's the case, listen to some of the things that are said here. It describes the actual events. Verse 3, while they are saying peace and safety, that's the first horseman who brings about a false peace. This is a short-lived peace. This is something that will be interrupted. It says, when they say peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Matthew 24 refers to this period as the beginning of birth pains. When a woman is about to give child or to bear a child, she will have contractions, she will have labor pains. They will get closer and closer together. And that's the whole imagery that's used right here. As we get closer and closer and closer to this event, all of the events come closer together. And in my mind, it seems like chaos is brewing. Again, there are some other events that have to happen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he mentions. He says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come first, unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. And what that passage is referring to is that right in the middle point, or somewhere in the midpoint of this period, the Antichrist will reveal himself. He'll go into the temple. He will break the treaty with Israel. He will begin to offer sacrifices on the altar. He will declare himself to be God. He will make himself fully known who he is. But I would say this, that when the signing of that treaty occurs, to Christians who alert and know about these events, that will signal in their mind that the Antichrist has initiated this. Keep your eyes on the Middle East. The events there that are taking place depict for us when the end is going to take place. And I know many of you here, you don't read the news, and I understand your age and everything, but start. Talk to your parents about what's going on in the world. I was amazed that many people don't know the events of what happened yesterday. But again, I understand. If you're not reading it, you're not hearing it, you're not listening to it, you're not looking at it, I understand. I understand where you are. But we're in such a time and a place in our life where we need to be alert at what's going on in our world. Our world, as I have mentioned over and over, is changing rapidly. Now, if we go back and we begin to look at some of these events, we have to find ourselves in another passage. And this is a passage found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 24. And when you go through Matthew chapter 24 and you begin to compare it to the seals that are found in Revelation chapter 6, you find an exact parallel. Let me read Matthew 24 and I'll point out the seals for you. And listen to what it says. Jesus came out from the temple. He was going away with his disciples. They came up to the point to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly, I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" You hear the question? What should we be looking for? What are the signs? What's the sign of your coming? What's the sign of the end of the world? Don't you want to know? He answers right here. Here's seal one. Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying I am the Christ, and will mislead many." That's seal one. That's the first horseman of the apocalypse. That's the first horseman there who comes out with peace. Second seal is right here. "You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end." That's seal two. Seal three, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." This is the first 3.5 years. This is the first three seals in Revelation 6. Then notice the next seals. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and they will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place," let the reader understand, "then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out of their house. Whoever is in the field must not go back and get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation." Now, the great tribulation is referring to that last half of that 3.5 year period. And listen how it's described. "There will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will be. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or 'Behold, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." Now notice this. "But immediately after the tribulation of those days. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. There you go, that's the sixth seal. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. And what you just heard was the events of chapter 6 of Revelation. What you heard there were the seals as compared to Matthew chapter 24. What you heard is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that he's coming back. In fact, in John chapter 14, when referring to his disciples, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That is him preparing a place for his children. Those who believe. Those who follow him. Are you a follower of Christ? You know, most Americans and most people will say, "I'm a Christian," but we have so minimized that term. That term is meaningless today. When it was used first in Antioch, it was used of these believers whose lives were so transformed that people thought that they were looking at Christ. It's not that they become Christ, as some people believe, but they were acting just like him. They patterned their life after him. They were followers of Jesus Christ. What are you? Are you a follower? Are you a spectator? Are you one who sits on the sidelines and you just hear all of the events going on? Or are you a participant? Are you one who's truly repented? Are you one who has truly come to him? When we talk about the rapture of the church, and if these events are right, and if my interpretation of this is right, well, you know what's going to happen? Is we're going to see the Antichrist rise up in power. We're going to see the first six seals of Revelation chapter 6 before the church is pulled out. Now, I say this every time I teach on this. I hope I'm wrong. But my fear is that believers aren't ready. See, this is not, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, believers will be pulled out before the day of the Lord, before the day of God's wrath. That's not till chapter 8. They're gone. But what about till now? Or till then, I should say. What about until that time occurs? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Yeah, it's easy to say, "Yes, I'm ready. I want to get out of this sinful world." But some of you may say you're ready, but you're not really ready. You're not a follower of Christ. Oh, you may have all the right lingo, all the right language. You may even carry a Bible, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Jonathan Edwards made a very important statement that the entrance to hell is through the portals of heaven. There are a lot of people thinking that they're going to heaven that are not going to heaven. And you have to measure your life by the Bible, by the Word of God, because it is the Bible that gives you that understanding of who is going and who's not. It gives you that understanding of what God requires from you and from me, if we are going to go to heaven. And it begins with repenting of your sin. And in order to repent, you got to see it. And that's what those 10 commandments are for, is to show you that you are a violator of God's law. You have not loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You haven't loved your neighbor as yourself. You've broken almost all 10 of them. I'd say we broke all of them. And the Bible says if we break one, we're a transgressor of the law. So you have to look at the Word of God, look at your own heart, your own life, and ask yourself, have I violated these commandments? And then you have to ask yourself, what's the consequences for breaking those commandments? You know, the Bible says that the soul who sins shall surely die. And the Bible tells us to fear the second death. It's mentioned in Revelation. The second death is hell. You know, a lot of us fear the first death, but it's the second death that we have to fear. Because the second death is whether you're going to be in heaven or hell. And the Bible uses the term second death to refer to hell. So as we understand these events that are taking place, And we begin to look at what is opening up before us in Revelation chapter 6. I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? Now, unfortunately, our time's gone, so we can't open up the first seal. So it will remain closed unless you read it. And we'll pick that up next week. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had in your word. I pray for everyone that has had an opportunity to hear it today. I pray that they've heard it, and I pray that they will respond to you, respond to your word accordingly, that they would turn from their sin and turn to you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me say one more thing before we go. One of the things I didn't point out yet was in 2 Thessalonians that you say, well, I got plenty of time and I'll just wait till all that stuff goes on. You know, the Bible says that God will send a strong delusion so that you'll believe a lie. You'll believe the liar, the Antichrist, as he stands up and everybody thinks, hey, that's Jesus. That's the Messiah. And you'll believe in a false Messiah. It's going to be much harder to believe during that period. Take advantage of now. You take advantage of today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation.